God bless you. Once again, we come here together seeking to fulfill this task we have prepared before ourselves. And once again, in order to do this, we come together in love and in peace, filled with the love of the Holy Spirit and the magnificence of Christ and the love of God. And it is in this wise that you are greeted, and that we bless and love each and every one of you, and seek to fulfill your pathways in your respective work. I see Christopher has been a very busy boy, and his son, Brother John. Will you take this parchment of Christopher and take from it what you will, and we will talk it with you. Melana, don't be frightened.
Oh, you want me to take one now,
what's that?
Si. I'm sorry. Would you be kind enough, Marcello, to speak on absolution?
We will go to the top of the list for this one, Medonte. And of course, Brother John, this is a topic which is in its rightful place at the head of all things, the absolution of the spirit of man. And it is to this end that man must live. It is to this end that he must strive to find within himself all the things which are of a holy estate, to find within himself all those things which are truly of the spirit and not of the material man. He must find within himself this essential desire to grow in God, to grow in Christ, to grow in heavenly love. And in order to do this, he must find for himself an absolution. He must find the absolution of himself, of his faith, and of his mortal being. He must find absolute justice in his cause. He must find an absolute need within himself to fulfill himself in the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost and in the brotherhood of man. He must find within himself a sincere and blessed desire to free himself from his sin, even though we know man walking this immaterial pathway he has to walk will sin. He must sin. And he will make mistakes. He must make mistakes in order to grow, to learn, to live, to be, to understand, to evolve. You understand this, Brother John?
Yes, indeed.
And it is from these sins in which he grows, is from these mistakes from which he evolves, that he must find his absolution. What is this absolution, you will say? It's simple. I will tell you. It is the absolution of his entire and his sincere belief in God and renouncing all those things of material value and charge. It must be an absolution of his spirit, an absolute dedication of the spirit to God, an absolute dedication of the spirit to the examples of Jesus Christ, an absolute acceptance of the Holy Ghost within the spirit of man. When he has achieved this, when he has journeyed through his life, accepting and appreciating all those things he has had to do, and rather than condemn himself for the sins he must commit, but absolute himself from them before Christ, before God, before himself. This, Brother John, is absolution. It is to make you content now.
Yes, thank you. No man can absolve another from his sins. Am I right or not?
Believe me, this is so, Brother John. He can do it only on a material level. You can say to your brother, when he comes to you in your temple of love, he will say, I have sinned before my God. And you will say to him, well, you have come before him now, and you have spoken of this thing. I will absolve you from this sin. This may be so, for as long as he is here on this plane. But the absolute, this word again, absolving from sin, can only come from within the spirit of man himself, by identifying himself with all that he is and all that he was, and all that he seeks it to be in the face of Christ and in the presence of God and in the image of his love. And only here, Brother John, will his sins be absolved him within his own spirit and within his own love of God and the identification of this in himself. It is to make you content now.
I heartily and fully agree.
Being the mother.
Most beautifully expressed. See, through the centuries, priesthood has come between man and God and not always been a good representative of God's laws and love.
Brother John, I remember on one occasion when Michelangelo Buonarroti was speaking with the Pope said to him, why is it, Buonarroti, I have spent my lifetime trying to find God, trying to express him to my fellow men, trying to make a man understand what God is and what the man's purpose here on this earth plane is. And here I am at the closing days of my life, and still I have been unable to do it. And yet here you are, a peasant artist, coming from nowhere, coming from the hills of Rome and of Florence. You've had no formal education in the Spirit of God or in the religious teachings of God, as I have. And yet, here you are. And you have put all I have seeked to do in one dramatic portrayal upon the Cappella Sistine. It has taken you 4 years to do this, to reveal to man, in 4 years, what it has taken my entire life to preach. So you see, Brother John, this again is another form of absolution. Buonarroti gained his absolution in the work he did. It was his absolute faith, his absolute belief, his absolute love for God and for his man, especially for man. He wanted them more than anything else to know his God. And here it is. Buonarroti, a peasant painter, absolved the Pope. He showed him the way to his own absolution and the absolvement. He showed him the way to his God. It was a few years before he aspired into the high life. In fact, it was only a few short weeks after this that the Pope made his journey into the hands of God, taking with him this simple lesson Buonarroti taught him and portrayed for him on the Cappella Sistine. You understand this, Brother John?
Yes, indeed I do, thank you.
There is no one more mighty than the other in the eyes of God. And as you have written and read this night, a similar story, Brother John, of the rich man who went before God and could not find his absolution, and of the poor man who received it even before he went. You have chosen your subject well, and I want you to bear these lessons in mind, for they are lessons you will speak of many times in your temple of love, and to those who come and sit before you in your congregation. You can absolve them for the time being, Brother John, and you can make their contentment absolute by this absolvement for as long as they live here on this earth plane. But when they ascend into the realms of life, then they will make their own absolution and absolvement before God. You contained now?
Yes, I see that.
Is it not simple, Brother John?
Yes, it is indeed.
Why you make these things such a complicated thing, when all it is just a simple case of understanding that the love of God and the absolvement of God, and the absolvement of your sins through the love of Christ and through God, are the absolute in all things, and are absolute to all things concerning man and his progress and his involvement. What could be more simple than this? Is this not so, Brother John?
Yes.
Then you teach your congregation this so.
So, what does it mean in that reading where it says there is a great gulf fixed, and we cannot reach you and you cannot reach us?
A great gulf?
Gulf.
Gulf.
Really? Great, wide, expansive.
He is talking of this rich and the poor again, Brother John. He is talking again about the proud and the mighty, and the humble and sincere, and the meek. And there is such a gulf between these. There is such a depth of emptiness, that because the proud are so mighty and so wealthy and so aloof, as you will call it. They just cannot define the strengths within themselves to be humble enough to step across this gulf. They cannot define it within themselves to become as this poor man of which you read. So they will remain separated by this gulf which cannot be bridged, which cannot be breached by power. It cannot be breached by wealth. It cannot be breached by station. It can only be breached by man's acceptance of himself for what he is. A simple spirit and child of God. No more. No less. He cannot take with him across this gulf all those things he possesses here on this earth plane. He cannot take with him his might and his power, his position, his pomp and his circumstance, as you call it. He can only take his spirit, Brother John, and nothing more. And in this wise, he is even more naked than the day he was born on this earth plane. Because in this wise he stands before God, stripped of all things, except life. And this is the gulf, Brother John, that cannot be breached by wealth or station or any other thing that man has created for himself. And likewise, I will say, those meek shall be blessed by God, and shall be received of him. Again, we will say to you, that he who is too weak and too meek to recognize himself and his God for what his God is, will also find great difficulty in bridging this gulf. For man is to God a blessed thing, a blessed creation, created in purity, created in love. A man cannot take with him the weaknesses and his desire to remain eternally meek. He must return to the Father, as the Father dispensed him into this plane, pure and holy and evolved, Brother John, evolved in the Spirit. Have we not said to you many times now, man's greatest sin is fear. It is the fear of evolvement, fear of coming forward and accepting himself for what he is, fear of allowing himself to grow because he has become too meek and too humble and too unwilling to receive the love of God for what it is. Power of evolvement, the power of growth. Fear is a sin because it prevents man from opening the portals of his being and allowing God to enter in and to reveal to his God the extent of his growth here on this earth plane. Fear is a sin because it has caused many a good man and a woman and a child to turn away from those tasks they are ordained to do because it is symbolic of a lack of faith. It symbolizes man's weak refusal to accept God into his life and to trust him and to trust those things which Christ spoke of when he spoke in the Sermon of the Mount, describing the many things that the Father has put before man. It is a sin through fear to refuse to accept this or to be afraid. Does he not say, will he not also clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Where is your faith? Where is his faith that the Father so sincerely wants man to reveal to himself? It's hidden by fear. Fear of himself. And each and every one of you, when the instrument, as he said to you in many of these occasions, when he has taught among you, who will say a prayer this night? How many of you have said, I'm afraid. I'm afraid because I don't know what to say. I'm afraid because I don't know what others will think of what I have to say. I'm afraid because, in truth, I have not got the faith. It is almost a confession that you don't believe that God will put before you those things which he needs you to pray for. It is a confession that you don't believe that the Spirit of Christ will move within you and fill your heart with the inspiration of those things for which you need to pray. It is a confession that you don't believe that those who inspire you will tell you what to say. And so I say again, man's greatest sin is fear. And you must overcome this fear in order to grow. And when you overcome this fear, which strikes in all so many ways, when you are afraid to accept one another for what you are, when you are afraid that someone may possess something more than you, when you are afraid that someone may find out one of your little tiny secrets, when you are afraid to come before God and reveal yourself, this is a sin. And this is the sin which Marcello said right at the beginning of my talking with you. Man will sin. He must sin in order to know himself truly. In order to see himself, he must see a reflection of himself. In order to make himself look very prim for his fair lady, he needs to look at himself in order to make himself presentable before his God. He must also look at the reflections of himself. But there is no shiny glass for this. For as it is taught, now I see the world as though through a glass, but darkly so. Come before your God. Come before him with love and faith in your hearts. Come before him and be joyous in the opportunity to speak with him, to speak of him, to speak for him. Be a messenger of his love. Be an emissary of his truth. Be a channel of his peace. Be a true and willing servant. Be a child of God. Be a child of God. Open up your hearts to him. Have no fear of those things which you have to say to him or have need of him. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. He shall receive the Spirit of God. You will receive the love of Christ, and in so doing, in giving yourself in absolution to God, then you will receive his absolution. You will receive his peace. And truly, as the brother John read for you, you will bridge this gulf. You will step over. For love is the only bridge with which you can go over this gulf, brother John. Faith, hope, and love. Faith in God, hope in your own absolution from your earthly sins, and the love of Christ and of the Holy Spirit and of mankind and of the love of being will form the bridge over this gulf, and nothing otherwise, brother John. So, don't be too proud, don't be too meek, be yourself. Be yourself, and be strong in your faith, and be absolved in an absolute love of Christ, the absolute acceptance of your spirit by God. At the closing of your earthly journey. Is this not so simple now? Is this my explanation for you, brother John? I will give you brother John's tongue erased. Who else would want to take very quickly a teaching from this which brother Christopher has worked so lovingly at? Isn't it? I am most impressed, brother Christy.
Thank you, Master. Yeah, it wasn't my work, it was Zodiac.
Perlorata, not think. Econici. We know the truth, brother John. Econici. Who will take one of these for Messiello?
Messiello.
Si. Econata, not to know.
Ectoplasm.
Si. Not to know.
I'm sorry, I haven't got a clue what it means.
Marcello, excuse me. Before you leave the subject of wealth, Christ warned of the inordinate love of wealth by comparing a man's situation of entering into the kingdom of heaven, that is, beyond the astral plane of earth into the realms of light, by saying that it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for such a man to enter into the kingdom of God. Have you any comment on that?
It's a very simple comment, brother John. As I have said to you, a rich man cannot he take all these things of his earth into his realms. He cannot journey across this gulf because he would just become lost in this abyss. And when Christ said that it would be more difficult for a man to enter into the kingdom of heaven with all his worldly goods, he cannot do this, brother John. His task would be so useless and feeble and unworthwhile and unthinkable and as impossible as it would be for him to pass through the eye of a needle with all his worldly goods and all his wealth. Because you see, brother John, when the man passes from these realms into the next. Let us forget about this great big golden staircase. Let us forget about these great big heavenly gates in the clouds, with the masses of angels singing the songs and playing these instruments of 10 strings. But let us think in truthful and practical terms. We have spoken many times of the spirit. What is the spirit? It is a life force. It is sometimes no bigger than a pinhead. And this only a pure spirit in this form. And the spirit can only be in this form if it is entirely pure and free from all its material gain, all its material influence. When it is thoroughly evolved and pure and as the Father created it, then it is big enough to pass through the eye of a needle. You understand this, Brother John?
Yes.
Because life is an existence. It is not a solid form, Brother John. And this is why Christ chose this, what you call the analogy. This life could be passed through the eye of a needle. But you take a rich man with all his burdens on his back, all his pockets and the purses bulging with his wealth, trying to pass through this tiny little thing. He might just as well ride his boat around the canals of Venice for the rest of his time and guard his wealth in this, than try to pass into the realms of the Father. No man shall come unto the Father unless he has first prepared himself as a spirit, a pure, simple spirit, evolved and cleansed. Cleansed, I say, simply through his acceptance of what he is and why he is. Purified, therefore, by the love of Christ and of the Holy Spirit, received into these realms through the love of God. Truly it is, he said, he might just as well try to pass through the eye of a needle, rather than to try to pass from one realm into the next. You understand this, Brother John?
Yes, thank you.
He will do this, but only as he purifies the life form, the spirit. Not as a man. Not with all his goods and shackles on his back. And this again is why Christ said to this man who asked to become one of his followers, go your way. Rid yourself of your belongings and follow me. Is this not when he made this remark about his camel and his eye of a needle, Brother John?
That's right, he did, to the young man.
De romeriande, si.
To the young man.
Si.
The young man.
And he chose the young man to tell this to Brother John because he knew, as being a young man, he had the time to grow and to come to terms with what he has said to him. But it is a great sadness when a man can only worship his wealth and not his God. Is this make you content now?
Yes,
thank you.
Sure.
And who will ask this one more question? Did I hear you talking to Marcello's sister Valerie?
Yeah, ectoplasm, wow. I don't even know what it means, I'm afraid.
I will tell you what it means. It means the conglomeration of ectocosmoplastic rays, which have built up around the body in the aura, and it makes it a silky film, and it's a nothing. Just if you
okay.
Easy to make you content now.
Well, we don't need a chapter on that then, do we?
Is just, if you wish, a trick of the elements and of light combined together to make this phenomena, if you call it, and we all know what we think of a phenomena. Marana,
what do you think of the phenomenon?
Marano, it's the same as I think of the ectoplasm. It's starting in the
mist.
Okay. Is it just the thin air?
Is the trickery by man on Earth, or is it assisted by spirit or something?
We will get just a tiny bit more serious for this, for you, just to help you. When a spirit begins to sometimes reveal itself, it manifests in or by creating energy in the atmosphere. You understand this, yes. Christopher? And sometimes where there is an intensified mass of electrocosmoplastic rays building up through what is or was once the auric rays of the spirit. Then an image of the being sometimes reveals itself. And this is why it is transparent. This is why you can poke your hand through it and not touch it. It's air. It's just a mass of static electric rays, as you call it. Do you understand this, Father Christy?
So it's actually something that happens in, or can happen, given sufficient
Is a manifestation which comes about simply through an intensified mass of static energy which builds up around the spirit light, and the spirit light reflects onto this mass and reveals the image of the being. Here's this explanation for you now. And are you now content, Sister Valerie?
Thank you.
And the what of your brother John?
Well said, Marcel. It's the best explanation.
See,
ectoplasm I've heard.
Is it? Bello Marante.
You are being serious, and I'm grateful.
Bello Sante. I want you. I want you to understand. There are many things in the solar system, and there are many things in this mass of oxygen in which you live, nitrogen, all these chemicals which provide things for you to breathe and survive, are not always transparent, but can become a solid mass, or give the impression of a solid form. And this can be done when there is the intensifying of electric rise in the atmosphere, enhanced by the energy of the aura of a spirit. And a spirit is just a tiny light. It's just a tiny light. You have the pictures which you look upon. Is this not so? And in order to see this picture, you must put behind it a light, as in the lantern. Is this not so? Then this is working on exactly the same principle. Is the light of the spirit reflecting upon the cosmoplastic rays of the aura and of the elements built up around the ether in which you live and breathe, becoming solidified?
Yes.
It is make you content now. It's not always such a comical thing, it's the Valerie, yeah. But to me, it's a comical question for Marcello. It's a trivial thing. It's something which is so quickly and easily explained. It's of no consequence to the growth of your spirit and of your involvement. It just answers a curious mind. And we already know what happened to curiosity. It's Marcello. We all know what he does. Sometimes he destroys. Sometimes he will give his explanations. I am glad you was curious on this occasion, because I don't think you will ask this one again. Is this not so?
That's very true.
My father wanted to
meet you. I thought it was going to take a whole chapter.
And this so, a time is coming now where I must take my leave of you. I wanted to give my thoughts of love and blessings upon each and every one of you, for the love and the joy you create, and the harmony and the peace which you reveal one with the other. These are true blessings of the Spirit. This is how you must live in order to grow one with another. Put aside all these things of the personalities, of make-believe, of all these things which are not really sincere, but come among one another in love and in peace and in truth, and you can see for yourself how it is much more easier for us to reveal for you those things you seek to learn of. You understand what I'm saying to you? So it is that I must leave you now. I will move aside, and so allow you, Brother Gustav Emmanuel, to close this moment of enlightenment with words of blessing and of peace and love. God bless you. Go in peace and love always. Grow in Him. Bend on that. God bless. Bless you, my children. Let us pray. O Lord, from whom all blessings flow, in whom all growth evolves, through whom all spirits transcend. Bless, we pray thee, O Father, the lives of these thy children, cherish them, O Lord, heighten them, O Father, into thine higher understanding. Take their hand, O Lord, and lead them to thine eternal peace. May the love of thy healing power enrichen them, O Lord, and be upon them, that they may bless those who suffer and who strive. And may the light of thy vision, O Father, fall upon them, that they may see through the darkness, for those who are so blind they will not see. And be upon their understanding, O Lord, that they may receive into their hearts the vision of thy truth and love, and teach men so. May the love of God and the blessings of thy Son, Jesus Christ, in whom all men must be, rest and remain with you. And may the light of his countenance forever shine upon you. And may the eternal peace of his love be forever in your heart, from this day forward, even forevermore. May the love of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit descend upon you, enter into your life and into your being. And may his peace be upon you. May his truth be in your being. May his faith be upon you, and may your compassion grow. May the love of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit rest, dwell and remain upon you, now and always. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, upon you now and always. Amen. God bless you, my children. Go in peace. Go in love. Go in grace.